Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Ray Graff. You know, most of us here in the great Northeast are under one form of lockdown or another. And even if you're not, the basic rules of social distancing would preclude you going to a doctor unless you really need to. And yet, a lot of people are running around on rail trails and what have you, and maybe you pull something, you feel a tweak in the old knee. The gyms are closed, right? You can't do that either. Joining us today, he's a regular guest, but he's going to help you if you are at home and you have some aches and pains. He'll find some way out of it, perhaps for you. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is our guest today. He owns a practice in Saratoga. He's here to answer your questions about orthopedics and sports medicine. 800-348-2551 is the number. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us on the line today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, New York. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. Matthew is one of the 350 specialists in the world with his diploma from the McKenzie Spine Institute International. Matthew founded PhysioFit Physical Therapy in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Albany. It specializes in prevention and progressing patients beyond normal daily activities. If you have an ache or a pain that you think physical therapy can remedy, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
First of all, how's everybody doing on your end?
We're doing okay. Yeah, we're trying to make it through this time, and it's been rough for sure. But my kids are safe. My wife is safe. So
that's good.
Family-wise is good.
That's very good. You know, yeah. One of the overarching themes we will have on this program as we continue with this pandemic response in this country anyway, is just things you can do at home and various activities and some entertainment that you could have at home. And I thought today was a very good opportunity for you, who is a very big a proponent of exercise and things you can do at home, to join us again. And so the number is once again 800-348-2551. A lot of us get aches and pains, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I do like this idea of giving some activities for people to do at home, and I recently wrote some things for the newspaper for home exercises for seniors who may be at risk for falling, and I'm putting together one for runners. Some things they can do. Now is actually a great time for runners with the temperatures warming up, and there's definitely lots of things they can do at home to prepare for the season.
It's funny. The rail trails are reportedly extremely busy, although I guess people, maybe some of the younger people, are not following the social distancing, but most people are keeping their distance and they're having fun out on the rail trails, which I think is something you should probably do, right?
Yeah, especially right now. I mean, getting out in the fresh air is definitely a good thing. We know that people stay healthier when they're exercising, which, of course, improves their immune system. And there's a whole bunch of studies out there about just being in nature itself and how good that is for your immune system and to keep you strong through this time.
And what's the number one injury we get from the recreational runner?
Shin splints.
Really?
Well, there's a slew of them. Yeah, you know, anytime someone starts out with a new running thing, one of the most common things is to have pain below the knee. So if it's not going to be shin splints, it's going to be something like a plantar fasciitis or an Achilles, something along those lines.
And what exactly happens when you have, what is a shin splint?
So there's a muscle right behind your shin bone. There's a couple of them, in fact. One is called your posterior tibialis, and the other is your flexor digitorum longus. They both go down along the shin bone, and they cross into the foot. So when people are first starting to run, for example, if they go out and get extra cushions in their shoe, then their foot's digging to try to find the ground, and they can agitate that flexor digitorum. And the other one is if the arch, they're not used to running, they use a little bit more arch than they've been accustomed to wearing dress shoes or something along those lines. And what ends up happening is these muscles get a little overtaxed, and they alert us by being really sore and painful.
Will that go away on its own if you just stop using, stop put your feet up and relax, let's say?
Well, one of the problems with, especially with any time you're starting a new activity, the old approach to doing things was to rest. And I say old because it depends on what the injury is. For example, if you have swelling, that's a clear sign, a red flag, it's time to stop. If your pain progressively worsens while you're doing something, that's also an indication to stop. But what you do when you're resting with the muscles and the tendons is they actually get a little bit weaker. They get more deconditioned, and then they start to feel better. So people think, okay, I can go run again, and then they agitate them again. And so a better approach, if you haven't been running regularly, the better approach would, or even walking, the better approach would be to do short jaunts, meaning you do like a minute's worth of run and then walk for a minute and then run for a minute and walk for a minute and allow your body a few sessions to kind of get acclimatized to you putting more stress on it. And that combined with some, in the clinic, manual therapy, which we're not doing. So for home, you would want to do some foam rolling if you have that, a foam roller, and you can do some gentle stretching. I'm not a huge advocate of overstretching. So a lot of times people will try to stretch too much. And it's more about keeping the tissues mobile and loose than it's about flexibility when you're starting a new activity. You want to keep them, the tissue moving.
Matthew Goodemote is our guest today on Vox Pop from Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga and PhysioFit Physical Therapy in Saratoga, Clifton Park, and Albany. Our number, if you have a question, is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. All right, you know, we've discussed being out and being running on the rail trail, let's say, but what if you're in that situation where you are in an apartment and you're not going anywhere? What sort of a thing can you do inside that'll keep things limber and keep you somewhat in shape? Say this goes on a month.
Yeah, so it's going to always depend on the individual status. So I treat a lot of older people, and we do a lot of things for falls and fall prevention. So for the older population, it's basic things like just doing a chair squats, which would be sitting down in a chair and standing up, and repeating that for like 10 to 15 repetitions every single day. It's my number one most favorite exercise. Anytime I do a talk to senior centers or otherwise, it's my number one go-to exercise, and it's straightforward. You literally just sit down and stand up again. If people have knee pain, which is a common complaint as we get older, they think that it's not good for the knees, when in fact it's one of the best things you could do for your knees. But you could also put blankets in the chair to boost yourself up so you don't have to drop down so low and do it that way. If you're a more active individual, something to keep yourself mobile and limber, it could be like a yoga program at home. We have a medical therapeutic yoga instructor that's been posting some routines online for people just so they have some things to do at home.
Yeah.
And general mobility. So that's like making sure you're moving your knees, making sure you're moving your spine. A lot of times right now would be a perfect time for people in the office who are used to sitting in an office to not sit. So, you know, getting up, moving around, even if it's in an apartment. And then with the spine, it's, you know, doing simple things like bending forward, bending backwards, rotating right, rotating left. And just on a regular, frequent basis, it could be an opportunity for some people who have been suffering with back pain to kind of get out in front of it a little bit by not sitting a lot.
You know, you talk about advice you give to seniors and really anybody who is recuperating at home or who has some aches and pains at home during this time when a lot of us are staying close to home. But my concern is, in any exercise, there is the great possibility for a human being to do it wrong. Can you do more damage that way?
Yeah. So there's a couple things. We are offering virtual sessions now so we can watch people do things. So we have the opportunity for as a physical therapist to evaluate people and to correct their movements through all the fancy technology. And then if you don't have access to that, the simple basic rule of it's okay that while you're doing something, there's some discomfort, but it should stop when you stop. So no matter what the activity is, especially when you're talking about joint pain, arthritis, things like that, you don't actually make it worse or damage it. It's more that your joint's just telling you to proceed cautiously. And for people who've been inactive, who are starting out, the muscles really won't alert you until the following day. So
that's certainly the case.
Right. Right. And so during the exercise, if you're feeling it in the muscle itself, that again is a time to just pause And if the symptoms abate right away, then you know it's okay to continue. If it keeps doing that, though, then your body's really starting to alert you that, you know, pay attention to me, tomorrow's likely to be a sore day. Muscle soreness doesn't faze me a bit. The things that get me concerned are the pain that continues even after you stop and swelling. Swelling is a sure indication, whether it's in the joint or in the soft tissue, that you have overdone it. And anytime the pain persists when you stop, if it persists for 24, 48 hours, you're still in a safe zone. You haven't damaged, injured anything. It just means you were right on the verge of doing something too much. But if you have something you did and the pain lasts for 3 to 5 days, that's the time you have officially gone too far and you've injured yourself.
Matthew Goodemote is our guest. Matthew, we're going to take a quick break here, sure, and then we will jump on the phones and get to some emails. 800-348-2551 is the number. Physical Therapy Today with Matt Goodemote. We'll be back. Welcome back to Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Physical Therapy Today with Matt Goodemote of Goodemote Physical Therapy. And before we get to our stack of emails here and then to the phone, you know, I'm sure you've been to the store recently, right?
Yes.
I for the life of me now can no longer find Tylenol and simple pain relievers like that. I guess probably some stores are better than others. But what if you have something like a headache? Is there something I can do while sitting at home, you know, all those lonely hours, that an exercise that might help my headache?
Definitely. There's several times when people come into the clinic with headaches that it's a simple neck movement exercise. And the one that I generally recommend is a real simple one. You basically put a chair about 2 to 3 inches away from a wall, and then you scoot your butt all the way back into the chair, physically lean back against the chair, and then continue to lean your head back against the wall so that it's resting against the wall, and
yeah,
then slowly bring your chin towards your throat. And what that will do is will open up the back part of your neck, right where your head meets your neck, and it will often alleviate a headache literally within minutes.
Wow.
So if you're having a headache that's coming from the neck, it's one of the fastest ways to get rid of a headache.
But don't bang my head into the wall.
That's another thing.
All right, fine. This email came in from Martha in Hadley. Martha writes, I'm 63 years old and very active. I walk 4 times a week, at least 3.5 miles, yoga twice a week, weight-bearing exercise 3 times a week. I'm diagnosed with mild arthritis in my knees, wondering how I can alleviate the pain. It's worse in the morning when I wake up or when I stretch out my legs while sleeping. Makes me wonder if I should continue walking when it hurts so much. And by the way, Advil does help with the pain. So any suggestions you have for Martha in Hadley?
Yeah, number one, definitely continue walking. Walking is one of the least stressful things for the knees, so I would definitely continue doing that. The other thing that I would say is that the simple chair squat, well, that I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
sitting down in the chair and standing up. So what often happens when people have knee pain is our body's pretty intelligent, and the thigh muscles will start to shut themselves down a little bit.
Yeah.
And when they do that, it actually increases the strain through the joint itself. So with mild arthritis, it would signify that the patient would need to work on her hip strength and then her thigh strength. And the priority would be in the hip area, doing exercises for the buttock muscles, the glute muscles, and then doing exercises like the chair squat. I would absolutely have her doing it. And she may need to prop something up, like, again, fold some blankets in the chair to boost herself up, and then do the exercises starting with 10 to 15 repetitions. And then every 3 or 4 days, add 3 or 4 repetitions until she gets in the 25 repetition range, and then unfold the blanket so it comes down a little bit lower,
yeah,
and then start again at 10 repetitions and work up to 25, and then unfold it again until she's all the way at the height of a normal chair. And then I would continue that on probably a 3 to 5 times a week program. And she'll see a huge dividend from just that simple exercise.
And again, you're not concerned that anyone could do a chair squat incorrectly?
No. The knee joint, the cartilage in the knee joint actually gets its nutrition through movement. And so that's why I say don't stop walking, because it's getting more blood flow in the knee joint, which is keeping the cartilage healthy. So we know that when people avoid movements, what actually happens is it leads to more problems with the knee, not less. So, but there is a little caveat to that. If she's walking and the pain gets worse and worse in the knees while she's walking, that would be something I may limit how far. So instead of 3 to 5 miles, I would keep her in that 2 to 3 mile range. But other than that, no, I would absolutely encourage her to continue. The more active, the better. It's the inactivity that I try to avoid.
It's physical therapy today on Vox Pop. Matthew Goodemote is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. And Matt, two more emails and then we'll jump on the phones here. This one is from Grace. Grace says, I am a 70-year-old woman. Just before Christmas, I slipped on ice and ripped both of my knees. Heard the right one pop and the left one rip. What exercises do you suggest to strengthen the muscles that support the knees? Before you answer, Grace, I hope you went to the doctors at least once after this happened.
Right. So it depends on where in the knees, because there's a muscle in the back of the knee called your hamstring. And that often is one that gets really irritated from a fast slip type of movement. And in the lower part of the leg, the calf muscle, the muscle is called your gastrocnemius, and it crosses over the back of the knee where the hamstring goes. So it really depend on where in the knee it was bothering her. But what I would suggest is the easiest, safest exercise for the hamstring is to lie flat on the back and lift up into a bridge position with the weight distributed on the heels. So you basically dig your heels into the bed, lift your butt up in the area, and then real slowly start to walk your heels away from your butt. So your legs will get straighter and straighter. And as you do that, you'll feel the hamstrings start to really work hard to do that movement. And then let yourself come down, bring your feet back, and repeat that type of movement. And, you know, in the beginning, I would probably start with a 5 to 10 repetitions. For the calf muscles, I would do calf raises, which would be just going up against the wall or a countertop, something really stable, and then just literally lifting up on the toes. And if it's the front of the knee, then I would do the chair squats.
All right. This last email, and then to the phones we will go. And again, the number is 800-348-2551. Mark writes, with all of the gyms closed due to coronavirus, what physical therapy can we do at home for the upper body? Most of us can't jump around or do anything for the lower body in our homes or apartments. So what can we do for the upper body if we can't get to a gym? And that is from Mark.
It's a great question. And I always have to, as a physical therapist, start with the basic kind of thing. So for the upper body, I would definitely address the rotator cuff. So there's 4 different muscles that make up the rotator cuff muscles in the shoulder. And the simple exercise is with a band. If you don't have a band, you can do it with a weight. But with a band, you would just tie it to a doorknob and have your elbow against your side with your elbow bent to 90 degrees and simply pull the band away from the doorknob. Mm. And you want to attach it so the band doesn't come off and smack you.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
What if you don't have a weight, though?
Yeah, so if you have a weight, you could do like a soup can type of thing. And with the rotator cuff, you don't want real heavy weights because they're small muscles. And to do that, it would be similar. This time you would lay on your side. So let's say I was working my left shoulder, then I would lay on my right side and I would have my elbow still bent at the 90 degrees and grab the soup can in my hand and then lift the soup can towards the ceiling while maintaining contact with my upper arm onto my torso. And so, it, again, creates a rotation type of movement, and that would be for rotator cuff. We do a lot with bands in the clinic. They're easy, they're functional, and you can get them on Amazon. If you don't have that and you don't have weights, then, again, using soup cans or things like that, I'm always a little nervous to offer overhead activities or push-ups or pushing type of things, because if you do have a rotator cuff problem, you can make it really worse really quickly. So I would start with the safe things like bicep curls, tricep curls, and doing some band work or light weight work for the rotator cuff.
With a soup can? Is that a euphemism for some sort of equipment? You're talking about a real soup can?
A soup can is 14 ounces usually, which is close to a pound.
Yeah.
And if you get the big one with Chunky, you can get a pound in there. But you can use stuff like that, just something around the house. I mean, some people will rig up, like put sugar into a Ziploc bag, and then you can hold on to 5 pounds. And people will use, go to a convenience store or something like that where they have the handles with the 1 gallon water bottles, and you can fill those up and do use weights that way.
You know, I think you're right about not suggesting over the head because, you know, you go to the doctor, I dropped a soup can on my head, right?
Exactly. Then you have a lump on your head and a shoulder sore.
That's not good. All right, Matthew Goodemote is our guest. It's 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Bruce in Kingston's been waiting a while. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm 91, and I have no pain, no swelling, no medication, but certain loss of balance, and I use a cane. And when I'm walking for exercise, I use because I can do a mile and a half faster. But are there? I have an indoor bicycle and an old rowing machine. Are there any other exercises I can do to increase the balance and increase the strength of my legs?
Good question.
Absolutely. So the bikes would be great because that will keep the muscles in the legs working. That exercise I've mentioned a couple times now, the chair squat, sitting down in a chair and standing up. And then I offer, when I go out and do assessments, fall assessments at the senior centers, I have this exercise where I have people holding on to the wall with both hands or a countertop. So it's something really stable, and then simply lifting the knee straight into the air and put it back down, lift the other side. So you're marching in place and you're intentionally trying to lift the knee as high as you can. And both the chair squat and that march are for muscles up in the hip, pelvis, and thigh area, which contribute to the balance part. And we do offer some suggestions for balance, but it would really depend on the individual. And sometimes, for example, we'll have people stand with their feet close together, again, standing by something really stable so their hands could catch if they needed to. And you just literally stand still, and then after that gets easy for you, then you bring your feet a little bit closer together. And you can do that or standing with your feet slightly staggered. And anytime you're doing something that's new, you want to be near something that's stable just in case you start to lose your balance. You have something to grasp onto. But the idea would be to not grasp onto things, again, safely so you don't risk falling. And doing those type of things and changing your foot position and or standing still and having your eye gaze go to the right or your eye gaze go to the left, those are all ways just to start to challenge different parts of our nervous system to help with balance. And there's quite a few things.
The chair squat is just sitting and standing up out of the chair?
Yep, and do it repeatedly. So you would start with like 10 repetitions in a row. And if that's too easy, the next day go to 15. And just kind of keep working your way up till you get to about 20, 25 repetitions.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
that. You're welcome.
Bruce, thanks a lot. Now, regarding the chair squat, if you really get good at that, should you have somebody sit on your lap and then try to get up?
Sit on your shoulders and do it.
Ah, all right, fair enough. Let's go to Chris in Altona. Chris, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm 71. I have diabetic neuropathy. I had back surgery that took away the pain, and I have a bit of loss of balance, and I get around with two crutches. I'm trying to regain the ability to walk. The last conversation you had with the gentleman that was 91 really pertains to my issues. My question is, my right foot, I have a cloth toe, and the second toe was removed due to diabetes, and the third toe and the first toe take up a lot of my weight. And the second toe, which is has fallen underneath the third, third digit that has fallen underneath the third digit internal to the foot. When I try to do like a runner stretch or squats or try to propel myself forward, it becomes inflamed. So yeah. I had an appointment with a surgeon to perhaps realign that, if possible, through slicing through tendons and whatnot and muscles or freezing the toe, whatever.
Yeah.
Of course, that's on hold. So in the interim, I'm taking chloroxazone, which is a short-term muscle relaxant, and because Flexeril knocks me out for a week. Right. What sort of exercise would you recommend, or should I just massage the foot?
Yeah, it's tricky.
I have a stationary bike.
I should be on it an hour a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be the best place for you because it's low impact on the foot itself. It's tricky with neuropathies because you can't feel the ground in it. And with diabetic neuropathies, if you get an injury there, it can lead to all kinds of terrible things. So normally I would suggest people to get the feel of the ground back. But in your case, I would really just stick with some basic things like the chair squat, because it's unlikely to have a major negative impact on the foot itself. The bicycle would be absolutely a great idea. As far as challenging the balance, the tricky part is that when your balance is challenged, what you're going to do is you are going to try to grip with your toe, and that's probably what's happening with those tendons. And due to the toe position, it's what's agitating and inflaming them. I would absolutely have you checking your feet every day, just looking for wounds and things like that, because that's where with diabetics it gets out of hand pretty rapidly. So make sure you're doing a good check. And if you can't bring your foot up to yourself, get a mirror and put it on the floor so you can look at your foot to make sure there's
I have like a rash between my toes.
Yeah.
I was wondering if it was related to duloxetine, because I understand one of the side effects is rash and sloughing off of skin. And so I'm like cutting back by a third, seeing if that'll clear up the problem. And I take it to reduce the neuropathy.
Yeah.
And gabapentin doesn't work for me. Exercise does, and this product.
Yep.
So
yeah, and that's the thing with
I'm
exercise. You want to do the bike again, because that's also blood flow and it's lower impact on the foot. That would be like a top one or two things you should be doing on a regular basis just to keep things circulation and not impact the foot terribly. With the medication, that's the kind of thing I'm not real familiar with the dosage and things. And if you do notice that irritation is not improving, you would absolutely want to talk to somebody about it. And due to the virus, there's a lot more telehealth going on. So you can actually, take pictures of things and show videos of things to doctors so they can assess it that way and give you some recommendations.
Well, Chris, thank you for the call. Let's go to Barry in Lake Placid. Barry, you're up.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question about, I'm 75. I take no medications whatsoever. My doctor is always impressed with my numbers. I guess he means my blood work. I exercise in the morning when I get up. I do 10 squat benders. I'm calling them squat benders. I guess you know what that is. I do 10 of them every morning. I walk at least a mile every day with my dog on trails, which is low impact, soft impact. I have no hip, back, knee issues or any kind of issues of any sort. I guess I have a good immune system. My concern is, and it just started recently, I've been switching pillows on my bed at night to try to find the right pillow, because I was having a stiff neck when I wake up in the morning. And then as I move around during the day, it basically goes away, or I forget about it or whatever.
Yep.
And I don't usually feel it again until I get up the next morning. Can you possibly tell me what's going on and what I can do to rectify this?
Yeah, I think the starting point of changing the pill is an okay idea. The first thing I would have you do, though, in the morning is to get to a chair and just check your range of motion. So sometimes as we get older, we get stiffness in the joints, but the stiffness won't negatively impact how far we can move. So for example, you would sit down in the chair and you would turn your neck to the right, looking over your shoulder, and then turn it to the left. And then you would side bend, try to bring your ear towards your shoulder to the right and left, and then bring your chin to your chest. And then the final one is to look behind you. And those are the six range of motions of the cervical spine. And it would be just as a general idea of how the neck is moving. And you can do it before bed, and you should do it before bed, I should say. And you should do it when you wake up in the morning and then at lunchtime. And basically what you're monitoring is to see, are you waking up with less range of motion? And if so, is there a specific direction that's worse than the other? Because if there is, it will lead you to the fact that one of the joints in your neck is the culprit for the symptoms in the morning. And it's something that's not a degenerative necessarily issue. It's more, it could be head position. It could be something's brewing inside the neck where the joint could be off literally a millimeter, but enough that it influences your range of motion. And if that's the case, there are specific exercises you would do. I had described one for the headache a minute ago, and it's similar to that, where you sit in the chair, you scoot your butt all the way back, and then you lean your chest and shoulders back, but keep your eyes facing forward. And the description I tell people is, we call it the don't kiss me exercise. So if someone was trying to give you a kiss, you would back up away from them, but you would still keep your eyes on them. So that simple exercise can often restore people's range of motion and resolve that neck stiffness you're having in the morning.
The don't kiss me exercise. Let's take a break here.
Right.
Yeah, I tell you what, it reminds me of my childhood. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Physical therapy today with Matthew Goodemote. The number is 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. And before we get to the emails, a personal question for you, Matt. You know, we're spending a lot of time at home. My children are home from school. They have been for a couple of weeks now. And we brought the Wii downstairs, and we got it on the big screen. And my youngest daughter and I were playing Wii baseball yesterday. And I got to tell you, I hit a ball probably 475 feet. But my elbow is killing me, my right elbow. What do I do about that?
I'll give the Yankees a call and let them know you're hitting some dingers.
Oh,
there.
Big time.
So I assume you had the Wii in the right hand when you did this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so right up by your elbow, there's a bone. It's called your radius, and there's a bone called the radial head. And my guess is either that little bone is in a funny position that's causing you pain, or the muscles that go right over top of it. This is what we would call tennis elbow. And you've agitated your elbow that way. It's one of the two things.
All right. It's probably also that I haven't swung a bat in 35 years prior to that. So this email came
400 yards. That's
are you
feet.
Kidding
that's
me,
incredible.
Man? I killed that thing. I beat the 10-year-old. I beat her by at least wait a minute. I think she won, actually.
Yeah.
All right. This one is from Dan. Dan writes, I'm an electrician and spend most of my day squeezing pliers, pulling and picking things up. Recently, my right forearm is weakened and has pain when I'm working. Is there anything I can do to strengthen it and decrease the pain? Do I have carpal tunnel? And that is from Dan in Saratoga.
So carpal tunnel is usually just felt in the hand in the beginning, and it can progress to the forearm, but it's usually felt in the thumb, index, and middle finger. Those are primary locations of symptoms. It's often felt at nighttime, just due to how we sleep, and then, of course, with use like as an electrician. My guess is, however, it's probably tennis elbow. And that would be more in the forearm, and it's up. So if you were holding your arm to the side and your thumb was pointing away from your body, that's the anatomical position. So the discomfort would be on the thumb side. And if you turned it so your thumb was facing your body, the pain would be on the elbow other side. So the lateral epicondyle is where the muscle would be sore. And with that, there's a couple things. So in the beginning, I do a lot of manual therapy in the beginning and in the clinic, rather. And you can do similar things at home using a lacrosse ball or a tennis ball. I like lacrosse balls better. And basically, you just put the ball on the sore spot and the muscles in the forearm, and you rub it up against the wall. And I usually use my other hand to stabilize, to push gently at first to kind of rub the ball back and forth. And the other thing you would check and just to see is you move your range of motion of the wrist. And if it hurts when you're pulling your hand up, so your fingers kind of pulling them backwards, then that would be a sign that you have an irritated lateral epicondyle.
Wow.
And then starting off with isometrics, which are basically just where you contract the muscle, but you don't let it move at all. And that's a safe exercise to get started with. And the combination of the manual therapy or using a lacrosse ball with some isometrics will usually start the ball rolling in the positive direction.
All right, this is the last email, and then we'll hit the home stretch here and get through as many calls as we can here before the program ends. This one is from Shashi, and the subject heading is knee pain. And not, Shashi writes, I'm a 44-year-old female. I play tennis a couple of times a week. I do walk a lot, do some yoga. For the past few months, I am having occasional knee pain in the front lower part of the knee. It happens suddenly when I'm walking or when I'm changing direction while playing tennis. Comes and goes. There's no swelling in the knee. It used to be only the right knee, but of late, it is occurring in the left as well. Any insights on the cause and or remedy?
Well, the first two things she said is it coming, going, and it happens with change of directions, playing tennis type of things. My first thought was the meniscus. So the cartilage in the knee will often create some pain. It's the medial aspect. So it's that kind of lower part of the knee, but in towards the inner part. And if it's in that general region, then that's probably what it is. There also are some muscles that come down right in the same vicinity, and they actually call it Pezan Serine, which is Latin for duck's foot. And it's a group of muscles that come in, including some hamstring muscles, and that would often also create some either some irritation or agitation right there. And then the other possibility in the front of the knee would just be the patellar tendon, and that's right dead center middle of the knee. So depending on where the location would tell me which of those things it is. If it's the meniscus, the truth is that I wouldn't do a lot if there's no swelling other than encourage her to do strengthening for the hips and the knees.
Okay.
But it, when it does hurt, that's an indication that something's happening there, so it's not the time to push through. So if she's playing tennis and it's getting agitated, I would cut it there.
All right.
And then make sure it calms down.
We are joined today by Matthew Goodemote of Goodemote Physical Therapy. Our number is 800-348-2551. Chris is in Menands. Chris, you're on.
Yes, hi. I have Achilles tendonitis. And it's been diagnosed as non-insertional. So I have kind of a lump there above my heel. And it doesn't hurt a lot, but it seems like it's getting a little worse. And I've been to some physical therapy, but I'm looking for more ideas about what I could do.
Yeah, so the first thing I would do with that condition in the clinic is start with isometric contractions. And so the easy way to do the Achilles is you stand with your hands on the wall and you raise up on your toes and then you hold and you count for 10 seconds and then real deliberately start to lower yourself back down. And when you're doing that, you want to make sure the weight is distributed through the base of your big toe. So if you're rolling out onto your little toes, you're not doing it properly or the way I would want you to start doing it. And then once you can do that successfully for like five times in a row, holding for 10 seconds, the next day go up in time. So instead of 10 seconds, hold for 15 seconds. And every day add 5 seconds until you get to 30 seconds. And once you get to 30 seconds, then we have – go ahead.
Is that five repetitions?
Correct.
You said?
Holding for 10 seconds to start, and then, again, working your way up to 30-second holds. And then the other one to do would be sitting down in a chair and doing the same type of thing where you're lifting your heels off the ground, but having some type of weight. And with a weight, it can be, you know, some if you have weights at home, the calf muscle is fairly strong, so you could do 20, 30 pounds. But you could also start with something light like 10 pounds. And doing, you know, you can rig some things up, like put a bag and put some things in the bag so you're lifting your knees up and down. And those two exercises are pretty straightforward how to do them and just working up with the isometrics so that you get to a 30-second hold and then real deliberate control it coming back down. And then once that happens, then I would progress you to more challenging exercises.
Okay. And for the first exercise, I assume I'd be using both legs.
Correct.
Raising up on both. And and for the second one, you said to use a weight. What do you put a weight in your lap?
On your knee. Great question. Sorry about that. Yeah, you put it like if you're sitting down and your knee's bent, you pulled it right over top of the knee. Yep.
Okay. Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Now over to Sheffield, Massachusetts. Tina, you're up.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
I might almost have answered it from another one, but I was in Mexico on the beach. You don't feel too sorry for me for that. And I was walking 5 miles on the beach, you know, on the wet part of the sand, and it sort of slanted.
Yep.
Anyway, I was walking 5 miles a day, and before that, I just hadn't been very active this winter. And it just the pain now on the top of my foot. And I think maybe you might have spotted it with that shin splint tendonitis kind of business.
Yep, it's a different muscle, though. This is the anterior tibialis, but it's similar. It's in part because of new exercises, walking on the beach, and what was required of the muscle. And what you would do is just with your own hands and using your thumbs, find your shin bone, and then just move away from the inside. So go outside a little bit, and you'll find the muscle. And if you find that it's sore for you to touch, then you would want to massage that area. So, and then it's a little bit tricky of a stretch to do for that particular muscle. But basically, what you want to do is just point your toe. So you would be sitting down, lift your leg, and point your toe out until you feel a gentle stretch on that same region. And then hold that for like 10 seconds. And it's an indication that you probably did overdo it, especially because it's still lingering there. But just doing some manual therapy to it and some mobilization will help to alleviate it a little bit. And then after, 3 to 4 days of doing just that, then you would start with some isometric contractions, which would be pulling your toes towards your nose and just holding for a 10-second count and then relaxing it. And if that gets easy, then you start to try to lift either with a weight on your toes or a band or something like that. But it's all real gradual. It's not like today do that. Today would be soft tissue work and restoring your mobility, 3 to 5 days of just that. And then once you've done that, then it's time to start some strengthening things.
Great. The last, I was trying to write real quick, after the contractions for 3-4 days of the isometric, what was the last thing then you said, then lift?
Then you would progress it, and one way you can progress it is by adding weight. So they have like little ankle weights, and you can put them over your toes and lift them, or bands or something like that.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's been a month, and it's still really painful. So you're not going to suggest I do some walking particularly to help it.
It's okay to do some walking, but with that, I would limit the time to like a 5 to 10 minutes worth of walking. And actually, walking may be one of the best things you could do because it loosens it up.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't do 5 minutes or 5 miles of walking. I would do something that's real manageable. So like if you walked away from your house 5 minutes, then you can walk back 5 minutes. If there's no problem with that.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Tina, thanks a lot. But Matthew Goodemold, what if she has no weights in the house and she's homebound?
Yeah, so there's, again, like just taking a Ziploc bag and putting flour, sugar, something like that in it, and then laying that over the foot can be serve as a sand weight, just like we would have. So there's ways to be creative.
All right, fair enough. And let's go to Nancy in Castleton. Nancy, you're on.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
In the fall, I was trying to do some cardio, so I was doing hills, and I got tendonitis in my knees, and that's gone away. But now that I'm home doing nothing else, I started doing the hills again, and I have it back. What am I doing wrong in walking?
Going too far too fast. So this is the problem with resting. So when you rest the tendons, they actually get weaker so that when you try to go back and do that activity, they get agitated again. So in your case,
skiing in between, and the skiing didn't hurt, but the walking up and down the hills does.
Yep. It's just a different level of strength that's needed to go up and down the hills. And I can't guess. It could be up, but oftentimes it's the down that does the trick. But what you would do for that is, number one, you want to keep the tissues on your thighs mobile. So doing some manual therapy, just massaging the thigh muscles. And then the exercise I've been describing all day is the chair squat. And how I would have you do it is I would put blankets in the chair, and then, so you're elevated a little bit higher. And you would go down, but not quite all the way. And you would just hover barely above the chair and do an isometric contraction there, holding for 5 to 10 seconds, and then come down and rest, stand up and do it again. So you would be doing some contraction on the tendon, but you're doing isometrics are the like low level basic ones to start with, and they help to build it back up fairly rapidly. And so I would do that and, just gradually progressing until you could hold for 20-30 seconds. And these are also called, they do things like on the wall where people will do wall sits where they'll put their back up against the wall.
I was going to say, it sounds like a wall squat.
Yep, exactly. And you can do it against the wall. That's fine. It's more the point is to try to start with a higher height where it's easy and you're not agitating your knees, and then gradually working your way down. And once you get to the level of a chair, whether you're against the wall or a chair, that should be adequate as far as how far down to go. And then when you start the hills again, just don't do so many. Do like one set of the hills and gradually build yourself up to more sets.
All right, Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. We jump over to Tivoli now. Sean, you're on.
Oh, yeah. Hi. yeah, so I'm pretty active. I dance a few times a week. And I was just stretching one morning on a very cold floor. And this was in late December. And ever since then, I've had really intense pain at the base of my rib cage on both the right and left side of the spine. I've just been very, very gently trying to warm up and go continue my workout, but I really can't. A yoga teacher told me to just walk on uneven terrain as a way of strengthening this whatever's going on in my back. But I'm on muscle relaxers and ibuprofen, and yeah. I've stopped the muscle relaxers because I don't like the side effects. But I'm doing this ibuprofen constantly, yeah. And yeah. I feel like I need to do something else.
All right, we only have about 40 seconds here, Matt.
Okay, so the thing I would recommend is to lay flat on your stomach and prop up on your elbows like you're watching TV, and to see if when you do that, if it gives you any relief in that area. Because when it goes along the rib cage there, along the lower ribs in your spine, that is the lower thoracic or the upper lumbar region. And sometimes just that simple movement will give you some relief. So I would start with that.
All right, Sean, that is where we will have to leave it. Matthew, how do people find you on the web?
Can I do a public service announcement?
Hey, if you can do it in 8 seconds, go, go.
Physical therapists are doing virtual therapy. So at my place, it's PhysioFit, spelled with an F, PhysioFitPT.com, and then GoodEmotePT.com. And we're trying to let the word out there that physical therapy, you can get assessments that way. So we take the strain off the doctors by doing it virtually.
Hey, man, thank you so much for being with us. Yeah. And hopefully next time we talk to you, everything will be back to normal and it'll be a normal show. You'll be in the studio. But thanks for joining us by the phone. Support comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Garth Williams, Illustrator of the Century, featuring original artwork organized by the National Center for Children's Illustrated Literature, arkellmuseum.org. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, providing the greater capital region with exhibit design, fabrication, project management for trade shows, museums, and special events. Your partner for a custom experience, EmpireExhibits.com. Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 50 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the capital region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga, InterimHealthcare.com. And the Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Thanks again to Matthew Goodemote for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach, our engineer. Jackie Orchard is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, New Frontiers on the program. We'll talk about video games with UAlbany's esports coach, Mike Lazinski. You're cooped up. You play a video game. We'll find out tomorrow. Stand by for the book show.